This is Sarah Pebworth bringing you a special What's the Word on Main Street on WERU-FM. If you're a regular listener on Saturday mornings at 9:30, you know I have an art crush on William Irvine. His seascapes and still lives, the housewives and sailors that he depicts in thick oil paints just delight me. I'm so happy to have gotten to interview artist William Irvine and writer, organizer, woman extraordinaire Marjorie Irvine back in January at their home in Brooklyn. Maybe you've been introduced to Bill through Maine PBS. Last year, the documentary William Irvine, A Life Behind the Canvas, was screened locally and aired on Maine PBS as part of their Maine Public Film series. Luckily for us, it's still available today. You can also catch up with Bill at the Courthouse Gallery this month. His show will be up through the 30th, and his book, Four Old Men Writing Together, will be launched there on July 23rd at 5 p.m. But listen in and you'll find out so much more about the Irvines. I realized that doing a radio show with a large discussion about artwork is kind of funny.
Yes.
But there's so many opportunities for people to pick up one of your books, or now to see that movie, or some of the other videos that the Courthouse Gallery has done.
But I think the video was more to do with my life. I think, you know, I would like it to have done more on my painting, but when I look at it now, I think, well, it came out pretty well. Telling my life story, you know, and I have a record of people I wouldn't have a record of otherwise.
The Zoom that the two of you did, where you were asking questions and making comments, I thought that was a really nice look at your artwork.
Yes, yeah. And I like that format a lot. I the first one I saw like that was when Deborah Cummins interviewed Stu Kestenbaum on Deer Isle, and I thought, oh, this is a really good format. It's so much better than somebody just making a speech.
But it's also so much better when it's the wife or, I mean, your
well,
partnership.
Well, somebody who knows the work. You have to have somebody interviewing who knows the work.
And you know more than the work.
Right. That didn't hurt. That's right.
I wanted to start with a poem I first heard William read last year at the Courthouse Gallery. When Miracles Were Common by William Irvine. When I was young, time was away. The town clock was silent, its face turned towards the elderly. In those Scottish days, I walked the long sleeve of canvas shore where the receding tide left miraculous drawings. In tidal pools, clouds swam with the fish. Fallen trees, resting on their elbows, slept by the shore's edge. Once, on a grain of sand, I found a map of the Sahara. Sometimes a harbor wind would carry the knock of boats and a throat full of screaming gulls. At other times the sea was silent, and I could hear the rock mussels open their mouths to the salt air. In those golden days it never rained. The sun opened my eyes and led me into a garden of flowers where I learned the alphabet of colors. Bees brought me honey. The wind gave me wings. Sometimes an Atlantic gale would carry me over the green Dundonald hills, over white farms and black-faced sheep. Green, white, and black. A tartan weave, the landscape of Robert Burns. The moon was unreliable. When it did appear, it would do a Wathilda among the clouds before striding across the silvery sea on long spider legs. Sometimes I would follow it to foreign shores before returning in time for breakfast. In my pocket, I keep a few treasures from those kilted days. A prayer of white horses, some sheep, and a waning moon, for full moon is too big for my pocket. I carry them with me, have them under the pillow at night when I dream. They remind me of that time when I was young, when miracles were common. That's by William Irvine. When I heard that at the Courthouse Gallery, it just reframed how I saw your artwork. And it got me curious about the poem because I didn't know you to be a poet or a writer. So tell me how that all came together.
I've always written poetry for myself. I've never written it for publication. Just something I do when I feel the need to be expressive when I'm not in the studio. Maybe I'm just in my bathtub and words start to come to me. and I put them into phrases that I feel express something about my some aspect of my life. And if I like what I do, when I get off the out of the bathtub, I write them down. And occasionally I will make them into a sort of poem just for sheer pleasure. In this particular case, that poem of Solstice exhibition, it was that Con Wills asked me if I wanted to join the group of poets writing, and I have written short stories, quite a few short stories, and also poetry. I do that because, as I say, in idle moments, I still like to be creative.
The Courthouse Gallery has done poetry and paintings in the past.
Yeah.
And for the Solstice show, did the gallery just put out the call to the artists that regularly show there and ask about poems?
I don't know what Karen intended. Right from the start, it was a mixed art show. And then she asked poets and also a few of the artists who wrote poetry to contribute, but she never said, okay, look at this painting and write a poem about it.
No.
Just coincidentally, a lot of them seemed to go together, happily. But it was never intended to be poetry written about specific paintings. I thought it worked really well.
No, it did work very well, and I think it has been very well received.
Yeah.
There was a very large turnout, and everybody appreciated that this came together at this time.
Yeah.
I thought it was wonderful. Mm-hmm. But maybe one of the reasons she asked me if I wanted to write a poem was because she did do a book of mine with paintings with poems that do relate to the paintings.
Oh, yeah.
We asked several poets if they would write a piece about my painting.
Right, it was a book of house paintings.
And yes. There,
yeah, several poets who wrote about them. That's the one.
And yeah. I am delighted to tell our listeners that the book is available at Blue Hill Public Library, or at libraries, and yes, that there is a video of the launch where the writers of the poems are there reading their poetry.
I've edited some of Bill's stories, although some people take easily to editing and welcome it. Some people do not. I'll leave it there. But I do make occasional suggestions. Bill belongs to a group called Old Men Writing. And he is one of five old men who meet on Zoom. And they've been meeting for 2 years. Now they're in the process of putting together a book, which will be out, we hope, sometime this spring. Most of it is memoir and nonfiction. Bill has a couple of those, but also a couple of purely fictional stories. I've been, I don't know what to call myself, the sender of the Zoom invitation, and I make occasional suggestions. I give them prompts, and universally they ignore the prompts. So but we've had a great time doing it. We've had a wonderful 2 years doing it.
So what prompted bringing together a group of guys to write?
Well, I'm not quite sure. Someone suggested it and asked Marge if she would organize it, because Marge is great at that. So Marge actually, as she said, she became the center of it. The five people got together just by word of mouth. I only knew one of them. The other three are not in Maine, they're another part of the country. And we always met by Zoom. And we wrote essays and stories and read them to each other. And it was a great thing to do. It was mostly during the winter. That's a great way to spend winter days.
Right. Mm-hmm. None of them is a professional writer, but they all have a sense of how to tell a story. I had very little work to do with that. You know, I might occasionally say, well, maybe you should try starting that one in the middle and then filling in or something. It was stuff like that. But all of them, luck of the draw, have sensed what it is to tell a good story. Several of them said, this is something I've never told anybody.
and you're the only ones who know it now. And they've also said how important it was for them, not so much Bill, but for the rest of them, to be writing things that their children and grandchildren would know.
If you've just joined us, this is a special What's the Word on Main Street on WERU-FM. I'm Sarah Pebworth, and I talked with William and Marjorie Irvine in January. We didn't know then that there would be a book launch this month. You can hear some of the writers, including Bill, read from Four Old Men Writing Together at the Courthouse Gallery on July 23rd at 5 p.m.
Is this time of year a fruitful time for you as a painter?
Yeah, generally winter is very good. But I would say that spring is probably better. It might have something to do with the fact that there's more light in the spring. I can work longer. The studio is easier to heat when it's warmer. Although I do have good heat in the studio, but it may take an hour for it to get in this weather for it to get really comfortable. But I do work a lot in the wintertime. And I like to have my exhibitions completed before the spring. And that allows me to experiment with my work more in the spring so that I can add to the ones that are already there. You know, I've completed the work, but I would like to do extra so I can choose. And usually, anyhow, there are more paintings going out to other galleries that I have to keep up with my production. It's quite a bit of work. And I work all year, actually all year long. Including the summer. I do work in the summer too.
Bill works in the winter, but I defy you to find a snow-filled painting.
Off the snow.
Yes, right. Last year that happened. You worked hard all fall. At the end of the fall, you said, well, my show is done. And when spring came, you said, I don't know, maybe not. And you embarked on a whole new series.
Well, that's why I like to feel comfortable that I have my exhibition ready.
Right.
So that I can throw myself into new work and so on.
I know from watching one of the videos that the split ticks was some recent work.
There's one up there, actually.
That's my favorite painting of all time. It's called Dora Dreamin'. And I asked the Courthouse Gallery if I could just hang it until somebody wants it. But I'm hoping nobody ever does, because I really love that painting.
Well, the idea of a triptych was basically one of the things I'm interested in painting, and I find all good painting must have it, is structure. Structure is really important. No one really talks much about structure. They talk about line and they talk about color and so on, but structure gives a painting strength. A painting has to hold together expressively as well as geometrically. It has to hold together. And part of the reason why I started to experiment with splitting the painting in three was partly to do when I was drawing, the structure of the painting looked like it was holding together with one of the paintings I was doing when I split it up into three with three lines. But then I realized that the reason why I was painting paintings split into three like that was because when you approach a painting, I don't want you to try to decipher it in a logical way. And when you split up a painting like that, it removes the logic to start with, so that when you look at it, you know you're not looking at representation. Because I do, with the triptych, I am using objects like boats, people, landscape. So there is a tendency, for most people anyhow, to try to identify with the painting through a description of the objects that the artist painted. And I don't like people to try to identify the value of the expression of a painting that way. So I rather they approached it knowing that it's an altered painting, it's an altered thought, it's an altered way of looking at things.
Well, we'll come back to you, Bill, but I wanted to talk to you about the colloquy that you just finished and hear how it went.
If you've just joined us, this is a special What's the Word on Main Street on WERU-FM. I'm Sarah Pebworth, and I interviewed William and Marjorie Irvine back in January. Marjorie has often led discussions for Colloquy Down East, literary and political, and she and William have done one together as well. Colloquy Down East organizes small discussion groups around a specific topic on and around the Blue Hill Peninsula.
I think it was really, really good. It was a great way to get through January. And we had really, really good discussions. It was an interesting variety of books, but we also brought in work to read and share, which was very nice. For example, Lucy Semler this morning wrote E.B. White's Introduction to a Collection of James Thurber's, which was really fun.
People were bringing in other people's writing.
Yes.
That spoke to them.
That's right. You know, I started by saying, bring in new Maine writing. And then I said, forget it. Bring in anything. Anything you love.
You were talking about books to recommend. And were telling me about one that I think we should tell everybody about. Julie Oringer.
The Flight Portfolio is a brilliant novel about a real life person, Varian Fry, who was in Marseille during the Second World War and saved many famous French artists and Jewish artists and writers, got them into Portugal and then across the Atlantic. He organized it, he saved many lives. I've never read about why she wrote that book, but I absolutely love it. And a section of it, which is not based on fact, I don't think, is set in East Blue Hill and Surrey in the 20s and 30s. I think it's pure fiction, but it's a great book. I love it.
What are you reading right now?
Well, of course, I just finished reading four books for the colloquy.
And what was your favorite of those four?
The best of the four was This Other Eden about Malaga. Well, it's fiction, loosely based on Malaga. The favorite of everybody's was a book called How to Read a Book by Monica Wood. And everybody absolutely loved that book. There is just not one bad thing you can say about it. It was a pleasure to read and a pleasure to talk about. There was a lot in it.
And I know that that colloquy just finished. Do you have ideas for coming up, another colloquy?
Well, I'm trying to talk Bill into doing one next January on... poetry about paintings. Well, we did a colloquy on Maine artists.
I did, yes.
Yes, and then we did one together on Marston Hartley, his art and his poetry. Hartley considered himself as good a poet as an artist. If he were here, I would say Marston, no. But some of his poetry is really good to talk about.
Don't give up.
So now that you are fully retired as a professor and you're done with this colloquy for this season, what's going to keep you busy?
Well, I have a recurring reunion with my old literature and medicine book group that I started doing a good 25 years ago at Eastern Maine Medical Center. We were funded by the Maine Humanities Council. Eventually, the funding dried up, and with COVID, we still get together periodically on Zoom, and so I have to read for that. I have a bad habit of not writing until I have a reason to write. If somebody says to me, hey, we really need something for whatever, I'm fine. I had a biweekly newspaper column for years and years, first for the Waldo Independent and then for the Ellsworth American. And when I had a reason to be writing and I knew who the audience would be and what the purpose was, then I can get busy. E.B. White has a wonderful article that he wrote for Harper's, it's in One Man's Meat, about Brooklyn Town Meeting. So I thought, now that would be fun. I will go to Brooklyn Town Meeting, which I do every year, and then I'll compare what goes on at this Brooklyn Town Meeting to the one that he wrote about. And so I wrote that, I got it all done, and it's fun, it's done, it's finished, and I don't know what to do with it.
To touch a little bit on how it works to be creative in a couple, Like, you need the deadline or the paycheck, and you get a slight urge and off you go.
Well, yes, actually, it works very well, because most of the time, I'm off early morning into the studio. That leaves Mars to all the things that she's involved in doing.
Well, I think that the other reason it works well is because we don't do the same thing.
We don't do the same
thing. No, our work is so incredibly different. I can't even write fiction. I certainly can't write poetry.
I want to somehow provide you with a deadline so that you write more.
Yes, right. Please, yeah, give me a deadline.
People really struggle with that, right? That we have ideas or we want to be creative, but we can't get our butt in the chair.
Well, you know, for me, it's also about knowing an audience and a purpose. And I find that really necessary for myself. If I can't think, I've written some things on spec, but it's always because, B. Altman in New York is closing. So sad, too bad. However, they don't remember when the original Lohman's closed. So I wrote, on pure speculation, an article about about Lohman's. And I sent it to the New York Times, and they took it. But that was because I had, you know, this burning idea, but I really had, okay, I'm going to send that to the New York Times.
I meant to ask earlier about your collaboration with Mark Bell.
With Mark Bell?
And how that came about.
Well, I think I got to know Mark Bell first as a poker player. I'm not quite sure, but we do play quite a bit of poker. At some point or other, he asked me if I wanted to do some vases and plates to decorate them. And at that time I said, oh, absolutely, I love the idea. Because, you know, one of my favorite ceramicists is Picasso. And I just love Picasso pottery. In fact, I had a piece myself, which I no longer have, but I had a piece. And the thought was, I can do Picasso pots. You know, I won't have to pay $10,000 to have one. And I did some Picasso-esque pots, actually. But I was learning. There was a lot to learn, too.
I think there was a lot to learn from Mark as well, because he had never worked with a painter
before. Yeah,
that's
right. He had to fire the technique I was using, which he had not done before. I'm torn between what to do with the pottery, because sometimes I do close to what I do painting, figurative, and then I try a more abstracted way of doing the pots. But either way, anyhow, it's always challenging. And I love the shape of vases and the shape of plates. And as I was saying earlier about composition and design, it's interesting to try to get a plate or a vase to hold together after, you know, with whatever you put on it, kind of the circle or the size and the shape of the vase. It's great to try to find a stable construction to put on it that's also expressive. So it's a challenge, but it's all hard work, and you never know how they're going to come out. Because there was one time I did a plate I really loved, but most of it had a gray area, and I didn't realize that you can't really put on a very good gray. I mix a black and white, which I would do with a canvas. I put on a black and white to make a gray, but when it came out of the oven, it was green. So I realized I can't mix ceramic paint the way I mix oil paint.
But porcelain is tough.
And that's a much more refined pottery. I don't want to bring it up again, but Picasso worked with clay. And sometimes I think it'd be great to work in clay.
Yeah.
But, you know, what I'm working on with Mark is porcelain.
How's your poker game?
Well, I usually win. Yeah. So everybody says it evens out in the end. Well, it depends how long it lives.
I'm too careful and conservative.
Yeah, Mouse plays sometimes, actually.
Yes.
But she's took us out.
Mark
and I can bluff. And not a lot of people like to bluff. One other potter who joins the poker group, and sometimes a painter. I mean, it's a mix.
It's a mix.
Creative people in many ways, you know. So it's an interesting group of poker players.
Quite Blue Hill in Brooklyn. There, you know, this is one of the most interesting communities. My brother was visiting once, and we took him somewhere, and there was somebody, George Emlyn, was playing the piano and singing, and we introduced him to a lot of people. And my brother said, "Does everybody you know do something?" And I said, "Well, yes, I."
Pretty much.
There was a woman in the colloquy, and we were talking about something, and she said, "Well, you know, when I was on the bench, this happened," and I had no idea.
I do want to ask you what book you are reading or what book you would recommend.
My interest is in autobiographies, particularly on art, artists. Autobiographies
and
artists.
Biographies.
I mean, my bookshelf there have hundreds of books, and basically it's about a single artist, and usually they are biographies or autobiographies. Because I love to read about the lives of other artists and how they worked, how their lives evolved. I feel kind of connected in some way, because it's a life that I'm leading too.
I hope you enjoyed these snippets from my conversation with Marjorie and William Irvine earlier this year. You can see William's work at the Courthouse Gallery, where the book Four Old Men Writing Together will be presented on July 23rd at 5 p.m. William is one of the old men writing, and Marjorie made it all happen. Want more? Look for Marjorie Irvine's colloquies in the future at colloquydowneast.org. For more poems and paintings, Google William Irvine. You'll find the PBS film, A Life Behind the Canvas, a documentary film about William's life, his book, At Home, full of paintings of houses, and Carl Little's book, William Irvine, A Painter's Journey, with a foreword by Richard Russo. His poem at the beginning of this show, When Miracles Were Common, is included in the Courthouse Gallery program from the 2024 show, Soul Invictus. This has been Sarah Pebworth with a special edition of What's the Word on Main Street? Please join me every Saturday morning at 9:30 for a quick look at what's happening locally in the visual and literary arts. The theme music for What's the Word on Main Street is provided by Ross Gallagher, a bassist who grew up in East Blue Hill and currently lives between Bath and Brooklyn, New York, where he works with a wide variety of musical artists. Infinite Blues is a cut from his recently released Neon Night.